Morning, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I forget that I need like a little step stool up here, amen. Even with heels, amen, amen. I am so godly proud to stand before you, and I do thank Pastor Armstrong in his absence. It was about 10:30 last night, amen. I got a text, amen. Pastor informed me that he wasn't feeling well. And, you know, that's huge for Pastor, amen. Now, for a pastor to say he's not feeling well and he needs someone to preach, that's huge. So I want us to pray for Pastor, amen, for healing mercies and grace to his body, amen, so he can continue to be the servant of God. But nevertheless, it was 10:30 last night, amen. And Pastor said, Morella, would you preach for me? I said, well, Pastor, you know, of course these are text messages, amen. I said, well, I promised Minister Jane that I would do the Children's Church at 11 o'clock. And as you know, I'm a Special Olympics coach. And we start track season this afternoon. So he sent me a text back, so I guess you'll be doing the 8 o'clock service, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Gotta love Pastor, amen. But I am truly humbled for this opportunity because most of you don't know me, amen? Because I come to the 11 o'clock service. And I always think it's very interesting when you're out in the community and you say, well, I go to Shiloh Baptist Church. And they look at you like, really? Oh, you must go to the 11 o'clock service. Amen. Yes, yes, we do. So we're so happy to meet most of you that come to 8 o'clock service. Amen. But I am so thankful for this opportunity to come to share what God has shared with me. And just to just spend some time, amen. Can we spend some time with Jesus this morning? The choirs have already got us primed and ready, amen. Minister Dave said, we are grateful. And see, I don't know about you this morning, because it could have been another way this morning, amen. See, I'm grateful every morning I open my eyes and I take my first breath because I understand that it could have been another way. And I want to get some housekeeping things out because I am truly grateful, and I will share with you with that before I get into the Word of God, because I am thankful. And every time God said you have a testimony, you need to tell your testimony. You need to witness to what God has done for you, through you, and to you. Amen. But my family is not here. And Mark wanted me to tell you that, amen. Yesterday we celebrated 17 years of marriage. He is my partner, my confidant, and he keeps me steady, amen. Because those of you who know me know that I'm a little unfocused from time to time. And he keeps me steady, so I'm grateful that God has allowed us to be one, amen. And my little cheerleader, you know I'm going to be in trouble, y'all, because she's not here with me. And if you know my daughter, you know she worships God in spirit and in truth. And if I can't get no one else to shout for me, hallelujah, I know my baby girl has a praise ready for me, amen. So I know that I will get in trouble because I didn't get her up in time to get here at 8 o'clock, amen. She's working on the 11 o'clock Sunday schedule, amen. So just pray for me when I get home. But I want to just, before I get into the Word of God, I just want to share my testimony, because I think I know that God's brought me through it to tell someone else. Around, let's say, October, I was taking a shower, and I was doing my self-breast exam, and I found one lump. And it wasn't a normal-sized lump, and of course, I said, you know, let me go check this out. So I went to the doctor, of course, went and got my mammogram. Of course, if you have a lump, they say, well, look, you got to go for an ultrasound. Not only did I have one lump, I had three lumps. And then, so of course, they said, well, you need to go to another specialist because we don't know what these lumps are. But we do know that they're lumps. So I went on and praised God for Dr. Lisa Allen and Capital Health Systems Hopewell. She said, well, one, it's not cancerous. But the other two, I have to remove because I cannot tell. because the biopsy came back atypical. So around Thanksgiving, I had surgery to remove two lumps from my breast. And as you can tell, I'm a young woman. But I'm so happy that I have health care in the name of Jesus. So if nothing else that happened on Capitol Hill this past week, amen, I am so happy that the Affordable Health Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, is still in place for the millions of Americans who desperately need adequate and decent health care, amen. So I stand here as a living, breathing testimony to how God can heal, amen. That if you go with faith and trust, God will deliver you, amen. So also, my sisters, get your mammogram. Get your mammogram and get it starting at age 40. Because I did get my mammogram every year. But this past summer, they detected nothing. So in the course of 2 months, I developed a lump. So please, my African-American women, get your mammogram. If nothing else you take from this sermon today, please take your health seriously. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all excited? I'm excited. Y'all excited? Yeah. All right, y'all getting there. Y'all getting there. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And as my bio said, so when I got the 10:30 at night text to preach this morning, Marla gave me a 6 o'clock call this morning. Well, bring your bio, because some people may not know who you are. Amen. I can work on that too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one thing that I am so passionate about is the work that I do for the youth here in Trenton. And this April the 3rd, the Trent Board of Education has partnered with the King David Lodge. I know number 15, some of you are members here. And we're doing an Autism Awareness Month. And one thing about our African-American community, we do not embrace the blessing of difference in our community. I have to speak this truth. We shame things that are different and things that we do not understand. So I please urge you, if you have time, to stop by the board building on 108 North Clinton Avenue on April the 3rd from 10 to 3 and just get some more information about autism. New Jersey has the highest incidence of autism in the country. One out of 41 people living in New Jersey is diagnosed with autism. But in our community, we're the last to get resources. We're the last to get intervention. We're the last to seek preventative help in understanding and information. So we want to now eradicate that gap, amen? Amen? So if you know someone, please, please, please encourage them to come to Trinbull Education this Monday, April 3rd. Not this Monday, but Monday next, April 3rd, amen? Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm done with all my public announcements, amen? Y'all ready for the word? Amen. Well, I'm ready for the word too, amen. So I just have one verse of a very, very familiar piece of scripture that we all grew up. So to stand with me real quick, it's just one verse. One verse. Amen? Amen. Just one verse. Won't keep you till you feet it long. Psalms 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's it. That's all, y'all. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we're so thankful right now in the name of Jesus that you've allowed us to come into this sanctuary. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that a fresh anointing fall fresh on every heart, every mind, every spirit, every ear that is in this sanctuary. Most God, we are just waiting for something new. We're expecting something new. We're on the cusp of something new in the name of Jesus. So right now we ask that you remove any barrier, any hindrance that will prevent us from hearing from a word on high in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for preparing a table for us in in the presence of our enemies. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. 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 So this morning, my brothers and sisters, my family in Christ, I just want us to focus on this theme called the dinner party. Amen. The dinner party. And you see, today is our, what I would call the hump Sunday of the Lenten season. Amen. Thank you for light. Let there be light. Y'all saw that? Amen. I like to call this the hump Sunday of the Lenten season because we just have one more Sunday until Palm Sunday. Amen. Y'all got to be excited about the Passion Week. Amen. Y'all got to be excited. If nothing else, we got to be excited about these high, holy Christian days. Amen. As a third generation Baptist preacher, I get excited when we talk about the high, holy days of the church. See, you know, I get excited when Advent, which leads up to Christmas. And then I get excited for Lent, that leads up to Resurrection Sunday. And see, as an adult, I get more excited because I'm able to sit back and theologically reflect and understand the spiritual importance of what this season means to me, for me, and about me. And I can appreciate the transformative nature of these high holy seasons in the body of Christ. So I get excited. And see, this excitement didn't start as an adult, amen. This excitement started as a child. Because see, as a child growing up around preachers and church folk, literally, that's all I grew up around, preachers and church folk. These high holy days meant something different for me as a child. See, as a child, I knew that Christmas and Easter, we would have some really good food. Amen? Amen? So yeah, you know, y'all act like y'all don't eat. Amen? Y'all know y'all excited about Easter dinner. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It must be some vegans. I'm sorry. So y'all just go with me a little bit on this, okay? Amen? See, I was excited because something about Easter dinner, my mom would just go out of her way to make sure that it was a special event. See, it was like she spent the last couple of weeks of Lent getting the house ready for the family to come over. Oh, it was a busy time in the house for my sister and me. Amen. You see, although we enjoyed the food of the Easter dinner, we didn't necessarily enjoy the cleaning up of the Easter dinner. Because see, that silver that was never polished for another 364 days, guess who had to polish the silver? And the good china, amen, we had to get all that out and wash it up to make sure it was clean for when the family came over. We had to make sure, y'all have never had this experience. Y'all look at me like, y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, well, just go with me then, all right? Just be a part of my narrative this morning, amen? Amen. The praise to God. So we had to polish the silver, get the good china out, make sure the linen tablecloths went to the dry cleaners because mom's table had to be perfect, amen, for Easter Sunday dinner. So we had to make sure everything in the house was just right for the guests. And see, my mom was that special type of mom because anyone who came to the house for dinner, she made sure their favorite dish was on the table. So if you loved hand-rolled yeast rolls, y'all know I'm from Atlanta, amen. Not the ones that you buy in the freezer section, buy from this calendar. I'm talking about the handmade yeast rolls where you had to put the cloth over them, let them rise for 2 hours, amen. And then she would have ham and rib roast, collard greens, cornbread, crackling bread, amen. Chitlins. Don't act like y'all didn't eat them, amen. Pig feet, oxtails, rice. That was just the meal portion. So if I had a cousin who loved her homemade banana pudding that we had to make in a double boiler, amen, come on, I'm taking y'all there. Y'all know what a double boiler is, amen. Well, we had to get the banana pudding custard, and we had to keep stirring it to make sure it had the right consistency. And then we had to go on and make the 7-Up cake, the Socket Tummy cake. Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know Good Eats, amen. Well, at 3136 Artley Road, Atlanta, Georgia, we had Good Eats on Easter Sunday. Well, whatever your favorite was, my mother went out of her way to make sure your favorite dish was at the table. Do you know how special, and everybody loved coming to our house? And I couldn't understand, why couldn't they go somewhere else? Amen. But then I realized how special my mother made them feel. That at least for one day out the year, they received their favorite meal, their favorite dish. While I hated getting the house ready, I really enjoyed the food. But there was something else I didn't like about Easter dinner as a child. See, there was something in my house called the kids' table. Amen? Who knows about the kid table? Everybody know about the kid table? The kid table was something real, amen. And although we had the same food as the adults, there was just some things that as kids, we weren't ready to be exposed to that occurred at the adult table. See, you know, there were some things, some family dynamics, some adult situations, some innuendos that were going cross and forth on the table that as children, the adults in charge of our lives wanted to protect us from. Amen? So we sat at the children's table. See, for example, at the children's table, we would have red Kool-Aid. Amen? But at the adult table, they would have a different type of red substance to drink, amen. But I can appreciate that because the adults, they want the kids to see them drink and to partake of certain things they would not understand until they were able to understand. So I appreciate the fact that my parents protected my innocence in adult situations. So as a child, although I did not understand why I had to sit at the kiddie table with all the other kiddies, but when I be transitioning to the adults, I appreciated that kiddie table. Because, you know, we all have that one relative, amen. Y'all know who he is, right? Y'all know that one, sometimes it's a she, but most of the times it's a he, that always partakes a little bit too much of the rare substance at the adult table. And he takes that one opportunity at the family dinner to air all the family laundry. Well, maybe y'all don't have that, but I'm just talking about the Macmillan family. Amen. Amen. That one. So I appreciate the fact that my parents protected me from that until I could understand that. And see, as an educator, I see firsthand the devastating effects how when adults don't protect the innocence of children. See, I come across too many children in the school district that know way too much about adult business. See, when I was growing up and adults were having a conversation, they politely asked me to leave the room. But now we engage and entertain our children in matters that they have no understanding of and should not be privy to. I have kids who know the details of their mother's most intimate life, love life. And I call it a shame. I am a social worker in the city of Trenton, so do not be surprised when I keep it real. But it is a shame when an 8-year-old who does not know their timetables, the 3 multiplication tables, but can tell me and show and tell what's 3 times 2 and 3 times 6. Amen. We give our children too much access to adult things without preparing them for those things in which they need to understand. See, we live in a society where the lines between parenting and friendship have become so blurred that sometimes they don't even exist. While I was not happy about sitting at the kids' table, I appreciate the fact that I
was at the kids' table. Because my mom and dad, they understood that I could not handle the family drama until I was old enough to not judge my relative role models for being human, but still admiring their faith in God because of the acknowledgement of their humanity. So what am I trying to say in that sentence? I'm trying to say that when you're young and you see that somebody may have some obstacles in their life, you don't quite understand that. But as you get a little older, you understand that faith in God, you can overcome any obstacle. So that role model that you saw in your big uncle who just returned home from the Vietnam War after being exposed to some chemical agent that altered his mind, but he can still talk about the goodness of God in spite of what he saw over in Vietnam. That is what I'm talking about when you're able to sit at a table because you understand you have some knowledge, some background knowledge to hold those role models and understand the importance of their faith in God. So I admire my parents for doing that and making sure that I had the understanding to see what God was doing in the lives of my relatives. But then there was something else different about being at the adult table. Because at the children's table, you could laugh and joke, say what you wanted to say. But when you transitioned to the adult table, you had to listen and wait for your turn and not interrupt and respect your elders sitting at the table. Imagine that. Respecting adults. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah. Because I wish more and more of our parents would have kids have that transition period so they can understand that just as this morning, we stand on the shoulders of people who have gone before, who've been through this journey so much longer than we have. And we need to respect and honor them. So thank you, Shiloh Baptist Church, for honoring Rebecca Mitchell and telling the stories of all those who came and who travailed the paths that we now walk on. But you have to understand, I am so thankful for that opportunity because it gave me a context to see this particular scripture in a different light. See, right now, this is where the 23rd Psalms, the 5th verse, comes into intersects with my life. Because the 23rd Psalms were one of those psalms that when you would go to Sunday school, what was the first psalm you would learn? The 23rd Psalm. Y'all didn't go to Sunday school? Okay, I got to do a little check. Amen? Amen. So the 23rd Psalm, and I appreciate that because that being the first psalm I had to remember in my Sunday school class, it became the foundation for my relationship with God. Yes. See, the 23rd Psalm is sort of my compass. Yes. For when I start to get lost in life, amen. See, when I find myself lost or confused, all I got to remember is the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes. And see, if you know anything about a shepherd from the New Testament, he will go looking after that one lost sheep. So I have confidence that sometimes when I stray away, that the good shepherd will come and find me. And not only is he a good shepherd, he watches after me. I love that second part, and I shall not want. See, you know, you have to put that in the context of the 21st century where everything is materialistic, and you're waiting for the next best thing. We live in a society that is extremely disposable, and we forget that the Lord will supply all. It didn't say some. It didn't say part. It said the Lord will supply all of my needs. So when I'm getting to that situation, when I say that, Lord, how am I going to make it? I remember it. Not only are you my shepherd, Lord God, but you supply all my needs. So as long as I know that the Lord is my shepherd, I know God watches out for me, amen. I know God protects me, leads me, guides me, and I want for nothing. But I also know that I'm going to come against some trials and tribulations and some challenges in this lifetime. So when I come to first five, I realize that, you know, there's going to be some people who just don't like you. And, you know, the thing I've learned about enemies, you don't have to do anything to them. I mean, it could be how you woke up on the side of bed. They just don't like you. I mean, to get an enemy, you don't have to work hard at it, amen? But I receive comfort and understanding that my God prepares a table. And of course, I got to go back to my mother's holiday table, amen, because that's the background knowledge I have so I can understand the spiritual knowledge of understanding a God that prepares a table for me. Well, this morning, I just want to look at three different perspectives of the dinner party, amen? So the first perspective I want us to spend some time on is the perspective of the host, amen? So we've hosted some parties, amen? Amen. Nobody's hosted. Come on, y'all. Is it too early? Just talk to me. We need to do some calisthenics. Come on, y'all. I'm up. Let's go. Amen? So, you got to understand, when you host a party, it's kind of difficult, amen? Because you want to make sure your guests are comfortable, amen? Because the one thing you don't want to happen is somebody comes to your party and they don't necessarily say favorable things about your party, amen? They talk about you. That's plain. They talk about you, amen? But see, God is a host par excellence. See, when God invites you to God's table, he already has a personalized invitation that had your name on it when you were in your mother's womb. So you have to understand this is predestined. So God already has a seat with your name on it at his table. So do you understand that personalized attention when you are made to feel special at a table of God? There's no other seat like it for you. It is your individualized table. And see, what I think I love about God, because he's omniscient and omnipresent, he knows the time, the date, the month when you're going to accept God's invitation. See, you know, you just have to understand that God is waiting for us to say, I'm coming. I'm coming. Because, see, God has everything that you could possibly want, desire, and need at God's table. We just have to be willing to accept God's invitation. See, some of us like hanging out at the kitty table. Amen. Because we like staying in that comfortable position because we understand there's a certain privilege that comes to coming to the adult table. That there's a certain maturity level that happens when you come to the adult table. But, you know, some of us just like hanging out at the kid table because we love juvenile conversation. We don't want to be transformed to understanding how God is faith in action through the lives of the people that we see and we interact in our own family. See, God's table is reservation only. And everything at God's table is freshly prepared and handmade just for you. See, there's no one else at the table that eats the way you do, that needs a certain sustenance that you knew. But see, God knows because he knows every hair on your head. So the meal God has for you is, guess what? For you. See, some of us want other people's food. But you got to understand that God's table, the meal is just yours and yours alone. Because, see, God understands where you have to go because he's predestined your life. So he knows what you need, amen? The Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. And see, the second perspective at this dinner party is the perspective of the guests. Amen. And see, I will encourage that some of us, including me, because I preach to myself, amen, that we don't want to experience the full blessing of God has for us, so we don't want to go to the table. See, we're content with the crumbs that fall off the table onto the floor underneath the chair instead of having the seat of the full blessings of God in our life. You have to understand that God wants to bless us. God wants to be a blessing to us, but we don't want God to do what God wants God to do for our lives. See, the first thing to do when we get that guest, that invitation to come to God's dinner table, we have to check our calendars. This is God. I want you to come to a dinner party this afternoon. You know, we have open reservation for you. And we tell God, let me see where I can fit you in. See, we try to fit God into a half-hour time slot when God wants 24 hours of our time throughout the day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That is to be in continual conversation with God every day, all day long. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I need your help for that. But instead, we want to fit God in this little convenient time for us. And then something else guests do if you have ever hosted an event. They want to know who else is coming. And although I love Evites, don't get me wrong, Evites are wonderful. But you know, you have those people who go on Evite and they want to see who else is checked they're going. Who else is checked? Maybe. And then they scroll down the list. Oh, well, if so-and-so going, I ain't coming. I'm trying to keep it real because God wants to bless us, but we want to stay at the kid table in the name of Jesus. Stop trying to figure out who else will be at the table. Know that the table is yours and God set it for you, and it ain't nobody else's table. Stop trying to figure out how God is going to bless somebody else because God has a blessing with your name on it. And the last thing that we do is guess, Lord Jesus. And I don't think it's just people of color. I really don't. Because I don't want to think it's just people of color. But we don't RSVP. And then you don't RSVP and you show up with three other people. People of color, amen. It can't be. But what I am trying to tell you, when God has called you out by name, God has picked you up out of the muck and miry clay, God has turned you around and planted your feet on solid ground, you better respond to God. And it's okay if your testimony takes a couple more people with you, but just let God know you're coming, amen. Then I am so thankful because I don't know about what type of guest you are. I'm happy that God continued to send invitations to me, amen. Because I know sometimes we're not already willing and ready to take that invitation to God because, you know, I love this fairy line, I want to get myself together first. God already knows you a mess. That is why God is calling you to come to the table. God already knows how messed up your life is. God already knows the sin that you've done. Why do you think he's saying, come sit at my table? Because I want to restore you. So I am grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy, for singing that song. I am so grateful that God looked beyond my today and saw my tomorrow. And as I sat in front of God's table, when I finally accepted that invitation, yes, it was a struggle for me, amen. Yes. I just want, as a preacher, we struggle every day. Yes. And our struggle's a little heightened because, see, we've been anointed. Mm-hmm. So our struggles are a little real, amen. Yes. The devil comes at us where he can hurt us the most. Yes. Because God, the devil knows if I can turn this one, I got somebody on my team. So our trials and tribulations are just a little more heightened. But I'm so thankful Because when I accepted that invitation to come to God's table and I sat down, I realized that the table place setting was just for me. And everything I could ever want was right in front of me. See, I saw a bowl of peace at God's table. And then I saw on this side a dish of grace. Amen. And then I saw a glass of strength in the name of Jesus. And then when I sat down to take my food, it was on a plate of love. And then I looked over to my coat and I saw a cup of hope. And then I went to eat my food. I had my spoon. It was a spoon of patience. And then I went to go get it. It was a platter of joy. The joy that the world didn't give it to me because I was sitting at God's table. And then I looked at the table setting and I saw a tablecloth of forgiveness. And then I picked up my napkin to wrap my brow and it was a napkin of healing. And then my fork of compassion. And then I saw that saucer with that cup running over and I saw that God was restoring me. And see, as long as I sat at God's table, I realized that I was the recipient of God's love and goodness all the days of my life. You got to understand, not just my Sundays, amen, not just my gloomy days, amen, but all the days of my life. So when I was going through a trial and tribulations, I could say, I'm at God's table. And surely his goodness and his mercy will be with me all the days of my life. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, because I understood that I was in God's dwelling place. See, y'all don't understand what it's like to be at a table, amen, to be in God's dwelling place, to know that God is sitting at the right hand, amen, and Jesus is on the left hand, amen, and the Holy Spirit is all around you in the name of Jesus. So I am thankful that I accepted God's invitation to sit at the table. But there's a third person at this dinner party, amen. The third person, and that is the observer. See, there's always somebody sitting on the outside wishing they were at the table. Don't understand it. And you know, so you say, what does an observer look like? Well, let me tell you, Kathy, you asked. That person that's filled with hatred, that doesn't want anything good to come of your life. That person who is so jealous of you that they will do things deliberately to sabotage your happiness. That's what an observer is. An observer is that person who did not get invited, amen, to sit at the table, but wants to prevent you from sitting at the table and to get you up from, hallelujah, the table. Because you do understand that we can get up from the table sometimes, amen. And so that's what the observer is waiting on, for us to say, okay, let me just keep tearing you down. Let's see if that peace you talk about being at that table is really there. Let me just keep poking at you to see if that joy you talked about is still there and how you love God so much. Let me see when you come against a trial and tribulation, how much praise you have on your tongue. See, that's what that observer does. He wants to make, he or she wants to make sure and say, I see you, but I don't believe you. Amen. See, people want you to fail. They want you to be miserable because they don't understand how good God is. So just to make it a little more apropos for you, just imagine that person on your job who's been trying to sabotage you since you walked in the door. Does everybody have one? I have one, amen. And I praise God for that person every day. Because you know why I praise God for that person every day? Because when I walk into the building, I am smiling. Good morning. How you doing? Jesus joy. And I like, and yet yes, I am a little mischievous. I do understand. Amen. I said I'm human. Amen. Praise God. But I like that because, see, when that person tried to do things to stab me in my back, I need for them to understand that every morning I eat breakfast of champions. And you know what that breakfast of champions is? I get new mercies of grace every morning I work up. So when I walk into my office building, I am happy. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, see, I understand that early this morning, God came down and touched me with brand new mercy. Touched me with brand new grace. So I'm okay today. And regardless of what you try to do to me, see, I'm at that table where I continually get peace. Because I know when I call upon the name of Jesus, hallelujah, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. The angels will say, glory, hallelujah. So I'm okay when I go into those situations. And I say, yes, my enemies, look at me, eat. Amen. Don't you want some? That's kind of bad. I know you want some. Amen. 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 So listen. I am so thankful that God prepares a table. And I'm so thankful that God is the host to make sure that I have exactly what I need. And I am so thankful for this psalm, Psalm 23, that is the foundation for my relationship with God. Because, see, I understand that I'm going to have some hard times. See, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, what God is my rod and my staff, he will comfort me. So when I say yes, I tell my enemies, please look at me now. Take a good look at me now, because God has my back. See, God has my front. God has my side. So when you try to come up against me, guess what? You will stumble and fall, because I'm a child of the Most High God. Because when you eat the peace of God, when you have the joy of God, when you have the compassion of God, there's just certain things the enemy just can't do to you. So they just sit and observe you like, how can she do that? Well, I can tell you how I can do that. A man named Jesus came down 42 generations and said, this is my child, and I'm going to give her anointing like no other anointing, because I need to stand in the gap for her, because she needs to be able to confess her sins in the name of Jesus and to be made whole. So when I stand in front of my enemies, I can say, Jesus, I can say, Jesus, I can say, my bright and morning star, I can say, my rose of Sharon, I can say, my fool when I have none, I can say, my doctor in the sick room, I can say, Jesus, Jesus. So I tell my enemies to look at me now, look at me now, look at me now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for God's dinner table. Amen, amen. Well, the deaconess, and the clergy, go out into the congregation, because there may be someone here today who was an observer, but they understand now that they were invited to God's table, and they want to say, yes, I want to sit at a table with a seat with my name on it. I want to sit at a table with food just for me, to give me sustenance, to give me power, so I continue